Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Season 1, Episode 22 of the East Coast Conference podcast. My name is Nikki Philpott, Associate Commissioner and Senior Women Administrator at the East Coast Conference. We are in the midst of Women's History Month, and I am extremely excited to welcome a trio of women who positively impact their institutions and the East Coast Conference day in and day out. Joining us today are Senior Women Administrators from three of our ECC schools: Damon University Senior Associate Athletics Director for Internal Ops, Susie Yormick-Donello; Duval University Associate Athletic Director for Athletic Administration, Carrie Brace; and Roberts Wesleyan University Senior Associate Director of Athletics, Femi Alau. To start off, I'll ask each of you to introduce yourselves and give a brief synopsis of what your roles and responsibilities entail at your institutions. And we'll start with you, Susie.
All right. As Nikki said, I'm Susie Yormick-Donello, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Internal Operations and SWA. Big portion of my responsibilities have to do with NCAA compliance and our academic success. Outside of that, I oversee three of our sport teams for sport supervision, our director of student athlete success, help planning all the department events, student athlete leadership. I am the advisor for SAC and team impact, a bunch of other things and duties as assigned, follow with the role. Excited to be here.
Carrie, your turn.
Yeah, I'm Carrie Brace. I have been here at Duval for about a year and a half now. Right now, I oversee six of our teams, and I oversee our academic advising department, our student athlete success coaches. I oversee our SAC group. I work closely with our dean of students to work on any of the relationships we have over in student affairs, working closely with our athletic director and our senior associate athletic directors, and do a lot of, a lot of the event planning, a lot of the things that we're doing in game, working on some halftime stuff, working on all the different things to get people in the seats for our games, and just learning as I go.
Femi, your turn.
All right, Femi Alau, Senior Associate Director here at Roberts. I'm entering my sixth year here. Within my role, I have a lot of sport oversight, so profile of about 12 sports. I'm supporting our athletic director with different initiatives. One of the biggest ones is the strategic plan of the department. So where do we go, and helping to oversee that our strategic initiatives are being implemented. And then I also serve as the liaison to Title IX office and the Office of Student Life. So supporting student athletes with student services, ensuring that the things that they need are had. And then when it comes to supporting with conduct, I'm also that person as well. And then just an overall fan of the Red Hawks.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the intros. Excited to get going here. Susie, Carrie, Femi, and myself are four of 10 SWAs in the ECC, alongside Marlena Wright from the University of the District of Columbia, Dawn Sachs of Mercy University, Kelly Sacco of Molloy University, Gina Nira from Queens College, Nicole Sarcone of the College of Staten Island, and Raven Johnson of St. Thomas Aquinas College. The SWA, for those that may not know, we'll educate you right now, is the highest ranking female in each NCAA athletics department or conference office. And the purpose of the SWA, of course, is to promote meaningful representation of women. It's what it's all about in the leadership and management of college sports. So, group question. We'll start with Susie. What do you enjoy about serving as your school's SWA?
I think the one, I guess, two things I enjoy most is just first being able to work with our student athletes. I love engaging with them. It's really why we do this, probably, you know. And then just also showing our female student athletes that they could too also have, you know, higher roles in college athletics. You know, we try to talk about their goals and things a lot. So just kind of giving that representation to them.
I would agree with Susie. You know, I love working with the student athletes. I love, you know, kind of sharing with them like our paths, how we got here. You know, I've spent my previous life before admin was coaching. So I spent a lot of time with the student athletes directly then. And what I like most about my role now is how that's transitioned into my role with the coaches. We have a lot of coaches here who are, it's either their first time being a head coach or their, you know, first time, you know, kind of navigating some new situations. And so I've really enjoyed, you know, even in the tough ones, I love being able to have those conversations with our coaches and just help them kind of find their footing and find what their playbook's going to look like, and just the ability to adjust and adapt, and just getting to know them and trying to show them how they can, you know, thrive for whichever path they want to be in.
A good question. I would say that my role with the SWA, I enjoy it at all levels. So I have a unique opportunity to serve on our campus, within the conference and then nationally for Management Council. And so being able to have a seat at the table has been extremely important. So we move from just ideas to impact and strategy, and how do we support not just our female students, but all students and from across the division. So being able to be influential and have those conversations has been extremely helpful. But the relationships I build on campus, whether it be through SAC or just those interpersonal relationships, I'm able to take what I'm hearing on campus, what I'm hearing within the conference, and then at the national level, share that feedback. And then to also be able to see the feedback has been extremely important for me.
Between National Girls and Women in Sports Day in February and Women's History Month in March, there are so many opportunities to honor, highlight, and showcase the female student athletes at our conference, at your institutions. We'll start with Carrie and her speaking a little bit about DUville's National Girls and Women's in Sports Day clinic and Title IX celebration. But what are some of the ways in which you've done that, you've celebrated on your campuses?
Yeah, so we had last Sunday we had our youth clinic. We had 10 teams participate with stations all around our Saint Center, our athletic center. And so we got to bring in people from our local neighborhoods. We got to bring in some family and friends, some staff children. It was really great to show them all the different sports. You know, I think the fun part for me too is many of these, kids are used to knowing what basketball and soccer is and things like that are, but they got to be a part of acro and tumbling, and they got to grapple with our women's wrestlers, and some of the really cool things like that, learn how to hold a lacrosse stick. So that was really great to see their reactions and some of learning some new things, to see their excitement, kind of just, the parents would be like, oh great, here's we're gonna have to sign them up for this camp now. And so that's exciting. And it gave our student athletes something to look forward to, and just to see their faces and how they were interacting with the kids was a really great opportunity for them. It kind of brought them back to where they started. Sometimes you get in the grind of things as a student athlete, and it's tough to get lost in all that. And so to see these, like, 5, 6, 7 year olds playing their sport, I think, brought a lot back to them. So that was great. And the thing that, one of my favorite, absolute favorite things that we do here at DUville, we do a Title IX Advancement Awards and celebration. We hold it on National Girls and Women's in Sports Day. We have an event on campus. We invite all of our teams, not just our female teams. We solicit nominations for three awards that we give out and present at that event for a student athlete, a community member, and a coach. And so anyone can submit a nomination, and then we have a committee that sits down and selects the winners of the awards. And we have student athletes and fellow coaches and fellow admins present the awards to those folks. And so just takes a minute out to appreciate what some of our people on campus are doing. So this year, our award recipients were our dietitian. Shannon won the Community Member Award, and to see her react to how one of our women's soccer players was presenting it to her was exactly what we wanted her to see, how valued she is and how important she is to our student athletes. Our strength and conditioning coach actually won Coach of the Year, our assistant strength and conditioning coach, and I think she was shocked. But she oversees men's and women's sports, and so I think, as we continue to empower our young women, like, you can be a female strength and conditioning coach, and you can manage men's teams and women's teams and hold the accountability just the same. And we're seeing all that pay off. And a women's volleyball player won our student athlete award, so those are great. We also, in that same event, we have a guest speaker come in. From the past, we've had sports psychologists, we've had people in the medical field. This year, we had the director of marketing partnerships from the Buffalo Sabres and the Buffalo Bandits, our local lacrosse and hockey teams. So we have a lot of business majors. We have a lot of young women switching into business majors, and the men and women alike. We wanted them to hear, Allie's story and to, find out if they wanted to follow that path, like what they needed to do. So it was fun. I think, it was great to hear her speech, but at the end, to see the number of students lined up to meet her at the end and want to introduce themselves and create a connection, it was like, that's exactly what we're looking to do here. So those are just two of the things that that we're able to do in the last month, and I look forward to continue growing those.
Sounds incredible, extremely rewarding experience. Your face is lighting up while you're talking about it.
For
From
sure.
previous conversations, it sounds like the only issue was potentially space because of the turnout.
We had some standing room only. So, lessons learned, get there on time, but it was great. And I think, we look at it and say, okay, if we've got to find a bigger space for next year, that's a great problem to have.
Great problem to have. Awesome. Thank you for sharing, Carrie.
Yeah.
Femi, would you like to contribute to what you have done on Robert's campus?
Yeah, so can't take credit for all, but our events team has been extremely instrumental in highlighting our women student athletes. And so this year for the National Women in Sports Day, and our SAC as well. They had tabling in the lunchroom where our student athletes had the opportunity to bring an item of their sport that represented and kind of demonstrate how to play their sport. And so it was nice to see them light up and other students light up, like, oh, I didn't even know that this was so challenging, or I didn't realize that this is how you play this sport. So giving them that opportunity and a platform to be teachers of their sport, I think for some of them also lit that desire to say, oh, maybe I can teach, or maybe I can coach. And so that was just exciting to see them being honored and recognized and giving them that platform. And then in addition to that, all of our student athletes were presented with a t-shirt that said, "Girl athletes today become women leaders tomorrow." And so throughout the day, they all got to wear their t-shirt, and it was exciting just to see them light up and feel that recognition that, hey, we are valued, we are honored.
Awesome. Thanks, Femi. Susie, your turn.
So this year we had an appreciation lunch for all of our female student athletes. Nicole, who's our director of student athlete success, put together a really cool video. We interviewed a few of the student athletes. We've inputted that. There was an intro. It was really nice. She did a really good job. Then myself, Nicole, Laura, who's another senior associate AD, and then Tracy Murphy, who's our VP of athletics, all kind of spoke a little bit and just sort of showed them the love. We also took time to write every female student athlete a little note. I probably spent a little too much time on those, but just again, appreciation, thanking them for being part of Damon Athletics. It was a good turnout. I think the girls and the ladies liked it. Some of our coaches came too, which we encouraged, but weren't sure if they would. But it was nice to just see the appreciation there. And they got to eat lunch and they got some stickers and a note. So it was a fun day.
Femi, in honor of the 50th anniversary of Title IX back in 2022, you had moderated a Zoom panel called Women at the Helm, celebrating Women's History Month and the 50th anniversary of Title IX. Callback. A primary topic then, and one that continues to hold true, is that of the opportunities for women within the East Coast Conference. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, that was an amazing opportunity to moderate a conversation between our athletic directors at our conference schools at the time. And I believe at the time there was about six athletic directors. And really, the goal was to hear their stories and their journey. Not everyone has the same journey, but it was definitely an honor and a privilege just to hear how so many people have made their way to the helm, whether it's through coaching or whether it's through athletic training, and just the combined amount of experience that our conference athletic administrators, specifically the women administrators, have, and their journeys has been extremely impactful and just hopefully encouraging to those who heard. And every now and then I go back and listen to their journeys and just kind of take some tidbits from there of just what it was that they did to get here, or their advice, or how do they just manage their current roles and burnout and things of that nature. And so when you talk about different opportunities, everyone's came differently. And so within the East Coast Conference, there are different grants for coaches and administrators to attend different programs. And so I've been a recipient of being able to participate in the D2 Governance Academy through the NCAA. And so that was one of my first opportunities just to really understand, like, how does NCAA work? How does Division II work? Who are the folks I need to meet, the programs I need to participate in, and relationships that I need to build? And that was a foundational program that I would suggest if any administrator is wanting to continue to learn and grow within college athletics. That would be a very good start for D2. And then from there, I had the opportunity to participate in the D2 mentoring program. And that was extremely impactful for me, just understanding the role of the athletic directors on their campuses, the roles that they had the opportunity to fly out to Converse University, where Jen Bell was my mentor, and had the opportunity to meet with her entire staff over there. And so the NCAA, they have a ton of leadership programs. That's one of the initiatives of Division II, is to ensure that administrators are learning and growing. And so I would say that I've been very blessed to be able to tap into those different opportunities, whether it's grant opportunities or applications that you have to apply to. I would suggest that if you're looking to grow in those spaces, the NCAA has a website and it's for their administrators, for the administrative track, and there's different programs that I suggest looking into to say, hey, where is it that what do you want to learn or how do you want to grow? And then find a program that aligns with that growth path. And then they also have these same programs for coaches as well. And so when we think about like, oh, well, do I have the budget to go and participate? A lot of the programs are application based, and there's a small cohort that they select to participate in those programs. So there's those opportunities, and then there's the summer programs through whether it be NACDA or convention that there's learning opportunities to continue to learn and grow. Some of the administrators shared those experiences on that call, but those are also other areas where you can continue to grow.
What was a defining moment in your career where you felt you were breaking the mold or pushing for change?
That moment would be my transition. So prior to serving as a college administrator, I was a high school athletic director and I also served at the middle school level. And so I knew that I wanted to grow, but I felt it was a little bit challenging for me to get into college athletics. And so I applied to quite a few roles over the years before I even started my college athletics journey and my high school journey. And so I think that there's a level of resilience that you need to have and just be persistent in whatever goal that you may have. Had I stopped applying, I definitely wouldn't be here. But I think for me, my journey is about like when time and opportunity align. And so I just happened to be on LinkedIn and I got a call for an email from Bob Segave and they had an opening and I was in Colorado. This position is in Rochester, New York. And so, I'd look and put a couple feelers out every now and then. I was still going to NCAA conventions and different learning opportunities, knowing that this is what I wanted to do long term. And so by the time I had the opportunity to have the interview here at Roberts, I had already started gaining that experience that I needed. So I had my high school experience, but I was still trying to figure out how do I learn, how do I volunteer at a college institution so that when the time comes, I do have that experience. And so even when you do get a no, I think that you just keep on pushing towards your yes and prepare for the position that you want in the future. So yes, I was a high school athletic director, but I wanted to transition to college athletics. And so I wasn't sure what area I wanted to go to. So I was going to regional rules meetings and networking with those folks so that by the time I got there, I had the skills and I was able to use my transferable skills. So being resilient, even when you get lots of no's, is that advice.
Susie, what is a leadership lesson you've learned that is unique, do you think, to being a female leader?
I had to really think about this one, but for me, I think it's just, trying to be real with people, and showing them empathy. I want people to understand that I'm human just as they are. And I think with that, I just hope that them seeing me being me and listening and showing the empathy towards them, that it will build trust. And with that trust, then that allows them to kind of trust me, right? And then we can lead together, whether it's within the department or their team. I want what's best for them, but I think I have to kind of get to their level and have them understand who I am first. I had a couple leaders in my past that kind of took that approach, which is why I've been trying to do the same with our coaches here and our student athletes and such. So.
As is common with people who go on to work in collegiate athletics, all three of our guests today are former NCAA student athletes. We got a bunch of smiles just now from that. Femi was a Division I women's soccer student athlete, playing 3 seasons at Grambling State University and 1 season at the University of Southern Mississippi. Susie was a Division II softball student athlete at Clarion University, while Carrie won the 2004 Division II NCAA Women's Rowing Championship with Mercyhurst University. We have a national champion on this call. Let's go. Group question. How did the foundation of being a student athlete help you transition into your career in college athletics, and how does it still help you today? We'll start with our national champ.
It seems like 100 million years ago. I think that We talk about it often with our student athletes here. And when you're a student athlete, right, and your ability to time manage and to address conflict and have difficult conversations and push yourself, I think that's just a potentially is a recipe for future success if you hone in on the right way, right? So I think, I don't think I ever had aspirations, my 18 to 22-year-old self, to forever be involved in college athletics. But it was everything, when I look back, it was the structure that I, needed and loved. And so I said I was going to be all done with it. I got everything I wanted out of my career. And so it was going to be, I needed a break from this. And 6 months later, I was coaching at a local high school. So fast forward 21 years later, I guess, and here we are. For me personally, I had phenomenal coaches who were extremely tough on me, demanded a lot, and could pull me out of a dark place if I was in it, and to push me down when I was a little too high, and so I think that there is an understanding of that there to, I look at that, my college coach is still in my life. I remember, this is a good story. I remember calling him, telling him that I was applying for this position, and he's on my reference sheet, and would you, they might call you, could you be a reference? And he said, it's funny you say that, I'm leaving Mercyhurst, and I'm going to Duke. Will you be a reference for me? And I was like, well, that's a crowning, that's probably the greatest thing I've ever been asked in my life, to be a reference for you, to go to Duke, which is just wild. But I think it's important as student athletes, and we try to teach our young women here and our young men, you're going to learn a lot here. And if you can navigate these struggles, and you can navigate, having to be your best version of yourself in times where you don't want to be, you could potentially end up in a great place, no matter if you choose to stay in college athletics or, whatever path you choose down the line as a human, as a family member, as a friend, all of those things. That has been a big thing for me, and it's fun to watch them. We always tell, them, when you submit your resume, and you have on there that you're a collegiate athlete, your future employer is going to want to talk to you about that. And it's always fun to hear those stories when they come back and say, oh man, they wanted to talk about how I was this, and they asked me all these questions about this. And so those are the things that I find joy in. So I think, it worked out for me, and I just want to help do that for other people as well.
Femi, Division One experience. How does that help you today?
Honestly, it helps in just so many ways. Athletics has always been a transformative experience for me. And so every experience that I had as a student athlete, I use it now as an administrator from an injured student athlete. I'm able to connect with our student athletes of just like, hey, I understand what it means to push through and, have a season-ending injury, things of that nature. From an SWA standpoint, I feel like I'm trying to be the version of who I needed my SWA to be or who I needed my coach to be for our student athletes. That's been extremely helpful. And there's just lessons learned along the way that I'm grateful for that I try to pour back into students and just say, hey, my grandmother used to say, I was once a child, right? I too was once a child. Everything you're doing, we've done before, and it's all part of the journey. And so if I can help impact the student athlete experience and build those healthy relationships, that is it's just such a joy and honor to be able to do that and stand in these places.
Susie, you and I both played Division II softball, but we talked about the fact that you were a first baseman, right? Yep. You played at Clarion. So talk to me about that experience and how that affects you today.
I think it allowed me to just understand the grind of what it needed to do to get up the chain in college athletics, and what it took to kind of be successful. I went through a lot of different things when I was in college, and a lot of the conversations that I'm having with my student athletes that come in because of whatever reason it is, I find that I can relate with them more than I probably thought I ever would. So I just think it's helped me to help them more. It's just really funny. You sit here and you have a conversation, you're like, wow, like I did that. Or I felt that same struggle. And I try to do my best to make sure, to an extent, the students know that I went through what they went through, or know exactly what it is. Because, when someone says, oh, I know how you're feeling, like, do you? But I do. And it's what, I give the example so that they can find that connection with me with it. It's just wild to sit back and think about how everything kind of comes to fruition, or however you want to put it, with what you went through and what you're dealing with now with our current student athletes.
A lot of full circle moments, I feel, when you're working on college campuses. Carrie, what advice would you give to young girls today who may feel discouraged from pursuing sports?
Yeah, I think it's about the connections you make, right? And I think that it's young student athletes, I think it's important to find the things that you love and make sure you love it. Make sure someone doesn't love it more than you. And if you really want to do that, then find the right people in your life that are going to help, guide you there. And when choosing an institution, for example, like there might be a prettier place, or a different scenery, if I'm being nice about it, but is that a coach that is going to be someone who's going to support you? Is that an administration that you see that values, who you are as a human? I think it's all in the connections that way. And so for the student athletes, I think that's extremely important. You want to get a great education, you want to like your professors and the department and all those things, and you're going to spend a lot more time with that coach and your teammates than you are with anybody else for those 4 to 5 years. So is that a place you can see yourself, and can you thrive? And I would say the same thing goes for our coaches. As we're hiring our coaches, is this a department that aligns with your values? And is this, if you feel like, I don't know if I can do this college coaching thing, like if you find the right people, I think you're able to do that. And for me personally, like, I've just been lucky enough to come encounter with great people. And I think that we continue to keep hammering down the lessons to these young women: find the people that are going to take good care of you, and that they're going to keep an eye out for you when things are good and when they're bad, right? Like, I've been super lucky. I don't know how many people know this, but I have a computer science degree that I've never used once in my life. And then during COVID, I decided to go back to school and get my master's so that I could take the shift into administration. And as a result, I interned for Susie. So I interned. I had worked at the University of Buffalo. I had worked at Canisius College at the time. And so my professor, I was so, so happy he said that. He goes, I want you, when you do your internship, do it with someone else. So I had known Tracy Murphy from my past life at Canisius, and gave her a call, and I was set up that summer. In my internship, I spent a lot of time with Tracy, and but more specifically with Susie, and got to know the compliance route of things, and got to just learn the ins and outs of just, like, what is your life as an administrator. And I think had not making those connections with Tracy at Canisius wouldn't have led me to Susie, which wouldn't have led me to when this position opened up at DUval. The relationships that they had with Anna and everybody else over here, that when it was time to make this leap, they said, yeah, you should interview Carrie, or however that went down. And so to get that support, it just all trickled back to me about the people you surround yourself with. And if you find good people, make sure they stay in your life for a long time. So we continue to hone in on that with our young student athletes, and with also with our coaches too.
That was
Connection
the best summer ever, and we did tell Anna to interview right away. I was hesitant because we wanted you, but yeah, that was the best, though. That was the best.
It was a great summer.
All right, I was going to ask you, Susie, how Carrie was as an intern, but I guess that
It
speaks
was
for itself.
great. It was great.
40-year-old intern. It was awesome.
We are all in positions of leadership, but we didn't just get there one day, right? We've had people in our lives who have set the tone for us and paved the way. So as we close out, want to give each of you an opportunity to shout out a mentor who has helped you along the way as a woman in college athletics, whether at a different point in your career or in the present. Let's start with Susie.
So I've worked at a couple of different institutions, and I've had some great leadership. I'm going to throw this back a little bit here. So I had a 7th grade English slash homeroom teacher, Miss Popovich. She just made you feel like you could do anything that you wanted to do. And still to this day, I communicate with her. So I owe a lot of that confidence to her. But I also had the director of the softball program that I played for and then went on to work for. His name was Zach Green. He actually started fast pitch softball in Western Pennsylvania. So he was someone that up until the day that he did pass was the man. Like, I called him for everything I needed, whether it's should I take this job, I don't know what my pitcher is doing, all the things. But if it wasn't for him connecting me with Beth Curtis at Allegheny College, I would never have gotten into college athletics. So I owe a lot to him. He was a great man. He was just my person, so I miss him a lot, but he was a huge impact on me just continuing to push through and to just get me the foot in the door to college athletics.
Such a good question, and it's hard to narrow it down. So you said one, I'm going to give you two. But I
Sure.
would say that D2 is so generous, and like the administrators, they're always willing to help and support and pour into you. Doesn't matter if you're affiliated with their conference. And I felt that since I've gotten to this space. So forever grateful for one of the first people is Courtney Evans Lovely. She's the athletic director at Palm Beach Atlantic. Yeah, she's been amazing for me. Very similar schools, faith-based component. And so I feel seen, heard, validated, and she challenges me though as well. And so just grateful for her presence in the space. And then Jamie Brown, CIAA, helped me just navigate when I got into college athletics, the hows, how do you do this? Who to go to? Just D2 basic. She's been extremely helpful and grateful. And these are the folks in my circle now, but I'm grateful for everybody who has poured life into me, advice, and all of those things. from K-12 to present day, but there's just so many.
Yeah, I think, same thing for me. It's so hard to just, pick one person that's helped get here, but two stand out for me for, in terms of being a strong female in athletics. Aileen McNamara is the head coach of a local women's high school program here, but she used to run the West Side Rowing Club. She's been the president of the West Side Rowing Club. She's the first women's president. And for me, it was just following her lead and just seeing, like, if you want to do this, like, stick your ground. Like, if you firmly believe in something, just speak up. Don't be afraid of what the room might look like, so that was really important for me to learn at a younger age. And I'm so glad that her friendship has been one that will stay with me for the rest of my life. In terms of, in the college workplace, I have to think back to the first time I ever thought I could maybe work in college athletics outside of coaching, because of my sports supervisor when I was at UB. Sharon Sanford is the senior associate AD for recreation, and she also oversaw women's rowing at the time. She just let me in rooms that I don't think at the time I thought I had business being in. She was on the Division I rack for women's rowing, and I was like the first or second assistant at the time in both. And she would call me into the office, and we would, she'd say, "You explain rowing to me, I'll explain this part to you." And so we would have those conversations, and I got to be on calls with really important people, and she would introduce me to folks. And it was always, very just empowering. She just was very, she believed that she could. If she could get you in the room, she could hype you up to where you needed to be. And then she also, like, was good on the hard lessons too, right? Like, one of the things that she always said that I will never forget, she always said, "Just because someone's, what, how did she say it? Just because someone's star is shining, yours isn't dull. People around you are going to get better things, and or do something that receives more accolades. That's fine. Be proud of them, clap for them, and then keep grinding. Because just because your star isn't as bright, like, you still are a star, And so that will stay with me for the rest of my life. And I remember just the elation of how happy I was to call her to tell her I got offered this job, because she's someone that just put me in that room so many years ago, and just to hear her reaction was really great. So just thankful for Sharon.
Women's History Month is a time to honor women's contributions to history, culture, and society, and we are so grateful to have recognized the three of you on today's podcast.
Thank you. It has been an honor, and I'm grateful for this opportunity.
Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Nikki. It's great to be in a space with the three of you.